And we're live. This is Judith Conrad, and I'm a coach for all reasons. I'm a radio broadcast coach. I'm an intuitive coach, a spiritual coach. And today I'm just going to be talking about the theme about evaluating returning to, let's say, age 18 and how your life would be different based on what you know now. Yeah, if you could pick age 18, well, that's when you graduate from high school. Though, you know, although in Europe, sometimes it's a different time that you graduate. We just picked the age of 18 because usually people decide to go to work. They decide to go to college. They go to the university. They've gotten scholarships. They're looking at marriage. So based on what you know now, and you could go back and you could change anything, what would you do? What would you do differently? And this could trigger some kind of reaction, a reactivation of some kind of latent gifts and talents. And my guest today will be you, first of all. If you would like to call in and share your story about how you would have changed your life. After a little bit, we're going to have Deborah Randolph, a numerologist, call in. We're going to be talking about some numerology and the full moon. Oh my gosh, this full moon, is this something? It's an Aries, and that would be yesterday and today, the 11th and the 12th. So looking at our theme, you know, what if? What if we could go back to this earlier time, change the course of our life, and what if we had made a different choice? And what if? And I looked back at some of my choices, and I was thinking, if I'd only. Here's another part of the question, if I'd only. And as I look back at them, I'm thinking, boy, was God smarter than I was. Spirit was smarter than I was, because if I'd made that choice and changed the way I had thought I was going to, the pain that I had experienced at that moment was nothing in comparison to what it would have been had I followed through on those decisions. At that time, I wasn't really listening to Spirit like I do now. And of course, I'm not saying that I make all the right choices. It's just that I listen to Spirit. A perfect example is this radio program. I had been in July thinking about changing stations, and I hadn't done anything, and I thought, and then all of a sudden it became very obvious to change. And when I called John and Seth here at the station, it was like, yeah, come on back. And so that everything just fell in place so that was an indication. So when you look at the signs of what you're doing and how, when you're listening and you're in this quiet place, which means that you probably are meditating, you're in whatever meditation looks for you, it looks like to you. You could be walking, you could be exercising, doing yoga. I get to that place, that zone, when I'm doing my readings on myself. And a reading is something where I take the time to think about a question, or maybe not. This morning, I thought about, okay, let's look at what choices I made. And what is the message that I can give to myself, and what is the message that I can give to others? And so these are the pieces of that puzzle that I want to share with you. The first one, and this, by the way, came from the Osho Zen and also the Crowley deck, trust. Trust, and this is the Knight of Cups, which is forget the what ifs. So here we are posing the question about what if, and now the word trust says forget about it. What ifs? You didn't make the choice, you didn't go back there, but I still want to hear about what you're going to say. Just jump like a bungee jumper. Move into the unknown, even if the unknown scares you to pieces. And we don't need to make any elaborate plans. We don't need to get our suitcase packed. We don't have to plan this, plan that. We're just being asked to do it, to go for it. Trust, and then only then can you quiet that chattering mind. Because the chattering mind is one of those parts of ourselves that, yeah, it wants to protect us, but it also puts so many what-ifs up in front of us that we miss so much of life. We can't live in the now in the what if only. So what this does is it short circuits that mental mind, so that we are available for the extraordinary life that is filled with spirit. And when that, can you imagine, and this is part of this whole thing, of course, is the imagining. Imagining being available for an extraordinary life where if someone called you and said, I've got a ticket, an airline ticket to go to Paris, France, would you like to go with me? And you have 2 hours to get to the airport, and I hope you have a passport. Well, let's hope you got the passport. You say, okay, I'll be there. Could you do it in 2 hours or in 1 hour? This is how change can happen here. That the what if only is short-circuited right now because you're creating the reality of now, right now. The second card was the Nine of Swords, which is called, this is self-cruelty, of beating yourself up and pain and sorrow that is so strong. And then I read something on Facebook by Andrew Harvey. What a wonderful modern mystic he is. And this is a quote about this self-cruelty and about sorrow. If you're really listening, if you are awake to the poignant beauty of the world, your heart breaks regularly. Whoa, that's something. In fact, your heart is made to break. Its purpose is to burst open again and again so that it can hold ever more wonder. So here we have two different, philosophy. Well, actually, they're the same philosophy. Allow the pain, allow the sorrow, because at the time of the greatest sorrow, there's the potential of the greatest transformation. Because you are so not able to function, you're only able to be alert to what's going on. So if life is going along, la-di-da-di-da, if life is easy, if it's comfortable, if it's convenient, who cares? So when someone dies or something or an idea dies, the essence of your soul awakens. So bring it on. And of course, we don't want to encourage people to die just so we can get our lessons. But if we can create this of looking at the sorrow that we hold and it seems to be there every day, because we can listen to the news and all day long we're going to get the sorrow, we're going to get the pain of what's going on. And I'm hearing more people going through papers, going through different thoughts and dreams about people from the past and situation, the synchronicity of these relationships coming up to be looked at and being resolved by unsuspecting events that are happening to us. And it triggers that cruelty that happened way back then, that what if only, if I had made this decision, if the other person had made the decision, if I'd been accepted into a school that I really wanted, if I had the money to do this, all of that is moot. Because right now, you are where you are. The third card is the card of number 19 of the Major Arcana, which is Innocence, the Sun card. To radiate just like the sun and have a childlike delight with a sense of grace, to be at home within yourself. Can you feel that and imagine what it feels like to be at home within yourself, to be comfortable in your body, to be comfortable with your thoughts, to be comfortable with the foods you're preparing? To be at peace is childlike, but it is not childish. So to drop all external identities, personalities, personas, and to just be. To be with the sorrow, to be with the what ifs, to be in this unknown, to be available. And that word available, I'm going to write that down. To be available for an extraordinary life, or to be available for what spirit wants to have happen. So when we can awaken every day and be in that place of the childlike, but not childish, to drop all the external, to just be who you really are. I think that's where we get in the most trouble, is when we try to pretend or we listen to what other people say. Well, if you would only act your age, if you'd only quit being this way or being that way. Well, this is the way we are. and someone else is uncomfortable with the, with our behavior, look at the person who's saying your behavior is inappropriate and just say thank you for sharing. Not to judge them, and it's not what we're here to do. The fourth card is the Eight of Discs, or ordinariness. With the Crowley deck, it's called prudence. It's like that tree that has all the potential and all the possibilities. And with the Osha Zen Tarot, it says, be ordinary. I said, what? Be ordinary? I strive to be the other way. Well, then I read further, and I just really got mundane tasks take on a sacred quality when they are performed with your total involvement. If I'm washing the dishes, be totally there with the dishes, and that gets to be a spiritual experience. If I am chopping wood, if I am carrying water, I'm there totally present, and these mundane tasks then become very important because they're leading me to something else, but I'm not concerned about where it's leading me. The total involvement, and I'm putting in this element of love, and for their own sake, without thought of recognition or reward. That's like paying it forward. When you pay something forward, you don't look at, well, am I going to get my reward? Are they going to say thank you? And many times when you sit there and wait for the thank you, you're missing just being with that other person in how they enjoyed whatever you've done for them. And if they never say anything, that's okay too, because you're paying it forward for something that probably someone did for you. There's no razzle-dazzle to impress. You're not coming on this radio program to be the star. I'm not here to be the star. I'm just here delivering the message that's been given to me for the last 2 days. So when I go to the ocean, oh, and I'm about due to go to the ocean. It must be time to go to the ocean. And the Oregon coast is so beautiful. So when I'm at the ocean, at the coast, and I see the waves coming up, and especially if they're crashing against the rocks, and it foams up, it takes me to a real connection with what's where that water is coming from on the other side of the Pacific Ocean. Or if I were at the Atlantic Ocean, it would be what is coming from Europe, from South, you know, from Africa to South America. When we're in nature, there's just something that takes us to this place of being at peace, to be in the now, not worried about, well, if I'd made this this change back then, where would I be now? Spirit, God, Goddess, all that is, has a broader vision than we do. We don't have a clue sometimes where we're supposed to be going, and that's perfect. We're just here chopping wood and carrying water. So when you go to the mountain, when you go to sit beside a gushing stream, you look at the snow, and you just you can get that same thing by washing dishes. Well, yeah, well, I'm convincing myself that, but you know, you get a certain element of it. That is the theme for today. If you have in your heart any hatred, and that's what's been coming up for several people that I've talked to today, because I called people and say, I want to call into the radio program, share this, and one person said, you know, my heart is so full of hatred for a situation that happened way back in the past. Hated it. I have hatred. I said, you know, what is it getting you? You're not free. You're not free from that person. You're still carrying that person around, and that person has probably forgotten you a long time ago. And of course that brought more anger, and I just, you know, didn't want to get involved with that as I was preparing for the radio program. So keep your mind free from that hatred, and the forgiveness is so important. Give more than you receive, expect less. Well, let's see what's going on with the astrology. I don't want to give too much because we have an astrologer calling. You know, Deborah's going to be calling, and we're going to call her in pretty quick. And she's going to give us more of a perspective. So we have an Aries full moon that was yesterday and today. Well, Aries is the planet of new beginnings. It's, I always feel Aries is kind of explosive. I have my south node in Aries, which is the pioneer, and that is the one who does it by themselves. Well, Libra is my north node, which means that I don't get to do it by myself. So that's why I like to have other folks come on the radio program and share their knowledge about astrology, about anything that I've talked about. So with this, I'm just going to focus on the Mayan calendar, because a lot of people are real concerned. And of course, the Facebook, on Facebook, it shows the Mayan, two Mayans talking, and there's the big calendar for the Aztec calendar. And they're looking at this, and they said, well, we ran out of space. Should have had a bigger sphere to do the calendar. They just ran out of space. And so that's kind of the joke of it, that now between this October 11th through the 28th, October 11th through the 28th, we're in the final phase of the Mayan calendar. Now, this comes from for Stephanie Austin with the Mountain Astrologer. So you probably have heard about this, that the Mayan sacred calendar describes 13 stages of creation called heavens. That's it. There are 7 days and 6 nights. And they have 9 levels or underworlds. And we are in the last of those, which has to do with universal expression. We've gone from cellular, mammalian, familial, tribal, regional, national, planetary, galactic, and now we are in the final phase, which is the universal expression. You see how we went from the cellular, which is tiny, tiny, to now the universal, which is beyond the galactic. It is beyond anything. So if we're still sitting back here in the what if I hadn't changed, you know, that we would not be able to experience this. So each one is getting a little shorter. It's coming up. And so what is happening, it doesn't mean the end of the world. Please. It just means that we're changing. We are changing internally. And as the more we can change by going back into that trust, into that being awake, looking at sorrow and whatever can break open that egg to be able to get to that deeper part of ourselves, to be more childlike, to be able to go to that place internally of peace. Is that not important? So what we are doing now, we are at a gateway. During this full moon, right here, right now, we're at the gateway of universal consciousness, which means the unification of the opposites of the dark and the light, and the recognition of our equality, that we are equal, and our interdependence with all life. Like I said, South Node, I can do it myself. Let me go out and jump on my horse and ride out and rescue damsels in distress. Well, that's not where it's at. It is about being interdependent with others. So we're at a place of new beginnings. I love it. And then Libra, we're in the sign of Libra. And by the way, happy birthday to my sweet husband. He's celebrating his birthday on the 18th of October. We want to wish him a super happy birthday. And we're celebrating and celebrating and celebrating. He is a Libra, and he certainly does represent that. He would rather have peace than anything else. So if there's ever anything that's a controversy, he really wants to have the peace. He's very objective, and he's very authentic in who he is. What you see is what you get. So at this full moon, now we're being challenged with these two. We've got Aries and we've got Libra. Aries says, it's got to be new, and it wants to be equal. And Libra says, we've got to have this peace. We've got to have the balance. And Aries will say, well, who am I? And Libra will say, who are we? Pretty cool, huh? So one of the things we're settling, and I mentioned about going through paperwork, experiencing those people from the past. When I was looking at age 18, I was looking at all the people that I knew at that time. And I'm looking at now, have I settled all of my karmic debts with them? And I looked it back, and the majority of people I think I have. So this is kind of an interesting thing here about the changes that we're required to make. We can't fall back into the old. And I would say if you can utilize your imagination, imagine and pretend that you've forgiven everyone in the past who's ever done you wrong. Imagine and pretend that your creativity is just blossoming. Imagine and pretend that you can write books. Imagine and pretend that you can do a radio program. Imagine and pretend that you have the most perfect relationship. And imagine and pretend that you are in total gratitude, because sometimes you wake up and you say, ha, I don't think I'm forgiving that person. Well, if you don't forgive and you can't imagine forgiving, that's one of these things. 10 years from now, you're going to say, what was I giving that person all of this time for? Didn't need to do that. Because that puts us in judgment. It puts us in fear. And I'm not judging whether you're forgiven or not. That's not my job to do. It's just important that you look at the what ifs and look at the results that have happened because you made the choice you made and how that impacted you at the present time. And I know we've got a lot of stories out there that just that you could call in. You can use Skype BBS Radio. It would be so wonderful to have you call in right now. In fact, I think Seth will see if Deborah's ready to call in. So we'll give her a jingle and see if she's ready to call in. If not, I'll just keep talking. So, Deborah Randolph, if you're ready, we're ready to bring you on in. Yep. Yeah, very good. She is so knowledgeable about astrology, numerology, and it was her idea to do this particular theme. And I'm excited to find out what her take is on after listening to what I've been talking about. Maybe she's not back into the house yet. Maybe there's a snowstorm in Mount Shasta. Who knows? I loved listening to people who are from Mount Shasta. I don't know if you've ever been there. I'm sure some of you have visited there. I don't know if you've ever lived there. Wonderful place. All right. Well, let me continue on and then just kind of recap what I've gotten. And I did have a short conversation with another person just before the radio program. And that person was sharing how someone that she knew 20 years ago had reappeared, not in person, but through another person. And the conflict that they had had before was now being resolved through this third person. It is phenomenal how things are happening so fast. And the closer we get to this 2012, of course, at the end of October. Okay, Deborah, are you on the line with us?
I am.
Right. I am so glad that you were able to be on the radio with me.
Well, it's been a long time coming.
I know.
But here we are.
Here we are. I know. You make me so happy to be able to have you on the radio and share this time. We're just going to chat like we always do on the, you know, on the telephone when we call from between Eugene and Mount Shasta.
You know, I have a question. I was just listening, and you mentioned something about the time between October 17th, I believe, and October 28th, according to the Mayan calendar. What were you saying about that? Can you elaborate?
Yeah, I was talking about between October 11th and 28th. That's the end of the final phase of the Mayan calendar. And so this is... And there's supposedly something happening on the 28th of October. I don't know what it is. I don't have my book with me to look and see whether that's a new moon. That would be...
Well, it should be a little bit past because they're normally 14 days apart, which would be the 25th. So it'd be just a couple days into the new moon.
Right, right. Yeah, well, this is the different levels that we're supposed to be entering right now into this universal... consciousness, and I'm feeling that things are speeding up so fast.
Well, here we go.
I know it. And for the benefit of those folks listening, that Deborah and I have the same birth date, different years, November 17th. So we have a lot in common, and yet we're different. You know, we're both Scorpios on November 17th. We have different things in our charts. And so could you share what's happening with whatever you'd like to share about the astrology, the full moon, anything else, this moon in Aries, which is pretty fiery?
It is, but you know what's been coming to me all day?
Okay.
Is the numerology of it.
Okay.
As you know, we're in a 4-year this year. The planet itself is in a 4-year, 2011, which is a year of building. It's a year of being in the physical part of the world, rather than we're always in the spiritual part, but really focusing on the physical part of the world and redoing things over and over to get them right. We're about to go into a 5-year in January. And October is the month which gives us a taste of what the upcoming new year will be like. So October, each month has its own vibration as well. And October is a 5 vibration within the 4-year, but it gives us a sense of what is ahead for us. And 5 is the vibration of change. And what's really been kind of up for me and really striking me are the protests that are occurring on Wall Street, which is spreading around the country.
Isn't it, though? Whoa.
Yes. It feels like, I think this is a prelude that they may die down for a while, but we're going to see a lot of that kind of energy come back once January comes and the new year starts. 2012, of course, 2012 is a biggie.
Yes, it is.
I think there's going to be a lot of shifting, but I think one of the things we're seeing in the protests is, hey, you know, this disparity isn't right.
Right.
It needs to stop. We need to take a look at it. It's not okay for all these people and corporations to have these values, which hurt the rest of us. I think we're going to be seeing, there's more protests and understanding of what's going on, for example, with animals. People are starting to form, down in Irvine, California, the city council just voted to ban all puppy shops, to ban all rodeos, and to ban all circuses that have exotic animals.
Whoa.
So there's and this is a very conservative area, but I think we're seeing that there's coming a time where the shift is going to be towards those that don't have a voice, and they're going to begin to have a voice. So if October is the beginning of, or at least a taste of what's going to come the ensuing year, I think we're going to see quite a bit of change.
I can feel it already. I can feel it already. And so I've been kind of observing, based on our conversation a couple of days ago, about how I'm just monitoring. I was talking about being aware and what is opening me up to being more conscious. And I think changing stations and coming over here to BBS Radio has been one of the greatest indications. If this is an indication of what's coming up in 2012, I'm going to be a happy camper.
Yes. Well, as you know, that for us, we're on the same vibration as the year. So this is also a 5-month for us. So there should be changes going on, and the change that you've made is a big one. And I
yes.
think you'll see that this change may have further ramifications in the coming year, although it may seem sort of quiet between now and the end of December.
Yeah, and have you noticed changes around your living, around your home, where you live, and people that you're encountering?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is that I'm sort of really shifting in the way I think. And part of what that means is that sometimes my mind goes out of focus. because my usual way of looking at things, my constructs that I have with the world that makes me understand it in the way that I do, are moving. And so I sometimes get into places of confusion. I had a wonderful experience yesterday morning where a friend of mine, John, who has a Buddhist temple here in town in Mount Shasta, invited me up, and he did some of the Buddhist prayers and exercises with me. And they were very opening. They're about opening the heart. And it's really stayed with me. It was interesting for me to see what it felt like to be more open than I normally experience myself. And to realize that all of us can move in our hearts in ways that we're probably not even aware of.
Yeah.
As far as physical moving, there's a lot of people moving out of Mount Shasta.
Right.
Yes. And I'm not sure why that is. I'm expecting that it's creating a vacuum and that people are moving to where they need to be in 2012. And several of them have gotten really good jobs out of the area, so they're not moving because they don't like it here. It's because they're drawn and being put in places that are really good for them. But it may also mean that other people will be moving here in preparation for, I think, what's going to be a really profound shift. I think sometimes about the fall of the Berlin Wall. It was up for so long, and everybody was upset about it, but all of a sudden, it just came down. And it didn't take a war to get it down or a lot of battles. Sometimes when consciousness is ready, things just shift.
And I think the consciousness of these, the Wall Street and all of the sit-ins or whatever they're called is part of that consciousness. Excuse me, the universal consciousness. It's like the 100th monkey. It has, you know, it's enough is enough, and all of a sudden it just, something has to pop. It's like popcorn needs to pop when it's ready, and it's the time has come right now.
Yes, and they're talking about how there's no real focus to these protests. You know, but I think you're right. It's something's bubbling up out of the unconscious, and people are becoming aware and saying, wait a minute, this doesn't make for the kind of world we all want to live in. The Libra world, if you will.
Right.
The world where we get along and yes, where it's about we and not I.
Yeah.
So this is a good time for that to happen. I think this full moon is really, really highlighting it. And of course, some of these people are being arrested, and it's become very difficult because the structure's going to want to fight against it, which is going to make it worse.
Hmm. Now, the topic that we picked, which is, you know, this is just dovetailing with this. If in the past society could have changed way back then, or we could have changed, or something could have shifted, how would it have impacted us now, and were there choices that were made back then? Let's say we just picked age 18. With you, was there a definite choice that was made, or one that wasn't made back then?
Well, I think it was not so much a choice, but a state of mind. And the state of mind I grew up with those many years ago was that I needed to find a man that would lead me through the rest of my life. And so I was giving over sort of my own decision-making and just waiting for that man to show up and do his part. And that was a mistake. And that was just something nobody, I don't know if they actually told it to me, but I just pulled it out of the consciousness around me that, you know, I was to sit back and wait for someone else to take over. And so I didn't make decisions in that sense. And now I know that that's not the way to be. I think there's some value in looking back and taking a look at the way things were to make the now a better time.
Mm-hmm.
Not in regret, not in, you know, necessarily anger, although there are things that I'm angry about, and you're right, it's better to forgive, but it's sometimes hard to do that. You know, you just can't make yourself do certain things. But I think it's helpful to just take stock and bring it up to the future and or the present and say, okay, what do we do with this now? Can we take these coals that were maybe difficult and turn them into diamonds in our current life?
Ooh, nice. That's nice. I'm noticing a lot of the drama around of, and sometimes I participate in it. I have to catch myself whenever that happens to say, wait a minute, this is an old pattern. You're creating drama, and if you could just let it go, who cares? Like, that was one of the cards. It, like, who cares whether this happened? It doesn't make any, you know, in 5 minutes from now, it shouldn't make a difference.
Well, our feelings are wrapped up in it. And
yes.
Our feelings don't have a sense of time.
Right.
If something happened 50 years ago and we have strong feelings about it, it's as if it's happening now.
Right.
And so I think we have to find a way to work with the feelings, you know, and I don't know that I've totally resolved this, but in a way that brings us into a more present place for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So those feelings are kind of like the sorrow that I was talking about, maybe, and that opens a place that will always be there in the heart. It always takes us back there, and maybe it can remind us of times when if we'd made a different choice, it could have changed. And like you were talking about, you were looking for a decision maker and probably found that person. And now you've shifted, and the choices you make now are so different because you don't need a decision maker. You are the decision maker. Actually, spirit is, when we get right down to it.
Right. Well, that's part of being a decision maker, is turning it over to spirit.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that you can find a way to contact spirit and really understand that message, which in itself isn't all that easy. But the intention, you know, is to do that and to say, what is the plan and how can I help?
And I've had several people say, well, how do you contact spirit? And I shared earlier that when I sit in the morning and I meditate, and I pull my cards and I write about them, journal about them, it feels as if spirit is talking through me. And when I'm on the radio program or when I'm doing a reading, it's like spirit is speaking through me. And for me, that just, it feels so good. There's nothing else other than peace when I'm in that place.
Yeah, and I'm sure you feel a certain power flowing through you.
Yes.
When that's happening. Where you're able to bring spirit into your life and into the things you do and say.
It's a sweetness. And when you are up in the mountain, is this when you feel like you're connected to spirit, or?
Well, sometimes I am. I used to think that that was how to go up, you know, to have a connection was to go up
yeah.
there. And sometimes I do, and sometimes it makes it stronger.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can feel a connection to spirit at any time. You know, I look out my window and the leaves are turning this incredible brilliant orange, and I just am blown away sometimes when I look at it, at the beauty everywhere. Sometimes it's so rich I can barely take it in. And I think there's being an awareness of what we have, the air we breathe and the water we drink and the friends that we have, is the little things are just so phenomenal. I was watching a video earlier, and this spiritual person was on it, and he was advising someone and saying, you know, the way to change the world is just to change yourself.
Yes.
That's all we need to do.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah. And that's really mandatory right now, I think. And those who can't change will soon, I think, come to the place where there's just no choice anymore.
Well, it's sort of being able to come to the realization that it's up to you to change yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of other people we want to change.
Yeah, right.
We don't have a lot of control there. And there's a, you know, I look at myself and I wish I was, you know, had a more open, loving spirit, because there's certain things that just really tick me off. And maybe I'll come to that place. But it's, you know, at least I know the goal.
And you're aware.
Yes, at times.
I'm
not constantly aware, because to be a constantly aware, I think, is a fullness that most of us can't be. That's why there was Jesus and Buddha and people that could be fully aware all the time, as our mentors. But it's not easy.
No, for sure.
I mean, well, the love of the universe is so incredible and so rich. It's just, it can be overwhelming.
I know. And to appreciate people, I mean, just being in with people, it just, and see the interaction, you know, of how they flow through a crowd. Or last night I was at a networking meeting, and I'll be going to one this evening too, some of the same folks, and just watching the interaction. And you know, they'll see me again for the second time in 2 days, and they'll, and you know, they know that I'm doing a radio program. And I, on the message, when I left a message for you last night, it's, I said, if this is an indication of the next year, I would, people were very receptive to doing an internet radio program, whereas maybe 6 or 7 years ago, they just kind of poo-pooed it. Well, it's not KUGN, it's not KGO, so how can it be a real radio program?
Well, yeah, that's shifting. I mean, one of the things the internet has done is made us aware that we can be in contact with anybody else on the planet, essentially, at any time.
Right.
Which quantum physics says is already happening to us on a subatomic level.
Yes.
So this is just sort of the outward sign of the inward grace. And, yeah, we're going to come to it. And I think and hope that eventually, once we experience this contact, that we'll maybe develop the ability not to have to use the internet anymore.
Right. Instant communication, and I like that term, inward grace. Very, very nice.
Well, that's from the Episcopal Church.
Yeah.
The outward sign of the inward grace. The mystery is something that we only see a little bit of. The real grace is what's inside of us, and that is brought by Spirit.
Yes. We're preaching to the choir here, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
And I'm going to take a quick break, and then if anyone would like to join in the conversation, and maybe we can have Seth call Chaz. You remember her from when I introduced you to her before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've talked to her.
Yeah, she wanted to join. Or if anyone else wants to jump in, you have all the numbers in front of you, and we can get about 20 people on Skype. So feel free to join us, and Deborah's going to stay with us the rest of the hour. Thank you, I hope. So we want you to be the main one here so that you can, you know, offer information to those people who call in. So we'll be right back, and go ahead and call in, y'all.
What is an intuitive reading? Why do people come to an intuitive such as Judith Conrad for a reading? They are in crisis or chaos. They just know that there is more information that they can't put their finger on. They want to know how to fully utilize their potentials and resources. They want to slow down to receive answers. They want more tools to deal with life changes. They know that their ways of resolving their problems aren't working. They've lost control. They want to find relevance and meaning to their life. They are experiencing loss of homes, jobs, careers, relationship, love, loved ones, death, major changes. They want to know how to break out of the status quo. Judith Conrad can assist in this transformation. Call Judith at 541-515-0610. That's 541-515-0610. And check out the website at eugeneintuitive.com.
Get a coach. Here we are at the beginning of 2011, and it's time to jumpstart your life. Let's see where you are with the following questions.
Are your New Year's resolutions still valid? Are you procrastinating on your current goals? Are your goals meaningful? Are you ready to really commit to a quantum leap in your business and personal life? Want to know your life's purpose? Do you have a creative idea that needs developing?
If so, call Judith Conrad, a personal, business, and intuitive coach with 25 years of entrepreneurial coaching experience. She is a cut-to-the-chase coach who knows what's ahead. Call 541-515-0610. That's 541-515-0610.
Timely tips on the Judith Conrad radio program. Judith is offering an opportunity to share your minute of how-to information every week on her radio program. The same information will be featured on her website. What a unique way to spread the word about your business, service, and about you. Call Judith Conrad for an interview about this marketing idea. 541-515-0610. That's 541-515-0610.
And we are back with Deborah Randolph, and now we have Chaz Ridley with us, from also from Mount Shasta. So welcome, Deborah. I'd like to have you come back on and just give a little summary of what we've been talking about so far.
Well, so we've kind of been all over the place.
I know it.
But let me just reiterate that we're going into a 5-year next year. And this is a 5-month and a 4 years, so that there's going to be a lot of change in people's lives in general and on the planet. We're going to see a lot of change happening, and to be ready for it and to be okay with it.
Perfect. Okay, Chaz, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Nice to be back on.
Right. You've been on television and on radio with me many times before.
It's been a while, though, so it's kind of neat. It's fun. Nice to hear Deborah's voice, too.
Right.
Hi, Chaz.
Now, you guys need to get together in Mount Shasta, not just on the radio.
We'll figure that out.
Yes. Okay. So, as I was chatting with you prior to the program, Chaz, you had some different things that had happened at age 18 that impacted you. So, kind of synthesize that to share with our audience and with Deborah and with myself.
Sure. Well, when I was 18, I was a sophomore in college, and I had my skull seriously broken by someone who threw a hot iron at it. Had a bad headache for a couple of months and 3 or 4 EEGs, back when that meant, you know, they stuck green clay all over your head and put pins through it. And then I had 2 other main effects. For several months, I saw 4 or 5 of everything. And so I was constantly dizzy. And my not-yet mother-in-law knew I liked to knit, so she brought me yarn and a circular needle, and she dictated the sweater pattern onto a tape so that I could hear it. And I learned to knit with my eyes shut and made several sweaters and gave her the first one. And it gave me something to do with the days besides just dream, which was a good thing. And then after having never had any problem spelling anything, I was unable to spell even my name after my head was broken. So after I could see well enough to read, I started at the front of my big dictionary and worked my way through the end, and I read and spelled out loud every word in it. So sometimes I've wondered, why did I go right back to college the next semester instead of seeing this broken head as a loud and clear signal that something wasn't right?
Yeah, right.
You know? But I didn't. I had kind of a tentative backup plan for my life at that point, because it was kind of a rocky time at home, and a girlfriend of mine had moved into an apartment, and she wanted me to share the apartment, and a cub reporter on the newspaper there could make $60 a week, which was enough to live on. And so I had dreamed about that, but I didn't do that. I waited a long time to be a full-time writer. And I don't wish I had done that, because I wouldn't want not to have done what I've done, but I dream about it. And years ago, I wrote it. I wrote the story of what if I had done that. And
so,
somewhere
so
in one of my boxes, I still have that story.
So you followed through on what the essence of that whole thing was.
Huh. Yeah, it just took me a lot longer.
You mean eventually?
Yes, eventually.
I didn't do it right away. 6 children and 4 husbands later, I finally said, the heck with all of this.
I love it. Were you waiting for someone, like Deborah was talking about, she was waiting for someone who was a decision maker for her.
No, I wasn't. I think I was just waiting to be done with whatever else there was that was in the way. And I don't mean that as dissing the kids or even dissing the ex-husband. Just that those were things I had to do. And then after they were done, I didn't have to do them anymore. Now I can do this.
Okay.
At least that's how it feels to me. Does it feel different to you?
No, just Deborah, what are your feelings about?
Well, I really liked what you just said. It really kind of impacted me that you sort of got a message back when you were 18, and that was a big thing that happened to you. And now you realize that it was a message maybe for your later self, that you had some tasks to complete, and now you've heard the message loud and clear.
Yes, now I would not backtrack to doing other things again.
And you know what I got, Chaz, that when that brain was being rewired during that whole process where you were seeing four at a time, then two at a time, and then the training that you had to go through to get the spelling back and all of that, that was, you know, the brain being rewired.
That had never occurred to me, but that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, I agree. I think that your thinking was being shifted at that time. And
never had occurred to me, yeah.
And, you know, you may not have acted on it immediately, but you did act on it eventually.
That does make sense. Thank you.
Yeah. I think that's the value of looking back, you know, that sometimes seeds are planted long ago, and we can take a look and see if they've flowered or maybe if we need to go back and water some of them.
And bring them give them a little fertilizer.
Right. So both of you have seeds that came from the past that are now come. I think that this is a time right now in this time period is full moon in the next, through the month of October to really be observant of what wants to come from behind us, from the past that is relevant to what our progress is and where we're moving and how we're moving.
Well, and according to quantum physics, there is no past. You know, everything is happening simultaneously.
I love it. And parallel. That's right.
It just makes me dizzy to think about that, though.
Well, it is, you know, a strange...
and yet
it's not how we normally think about things. But I think if we start to understand what's really going on in the world, and one of the ways of understanding is quantum physics and in their spirituality, then these things won't seem so odd. But they are right now in strong contrast against the way we normally think.
I don't know if I have normal anymore.
No, there you go. There is no normal.
I left Seattle a week after a job I was doing ended, well, actually 8 days after, and came back down here, and I haven't done anything the same since.
Congratulations.
So maybe I'm still discovering what normal is going to be. Maybe that's what it is.
Remember, I was talking earlier about the mundane. Whatever the mundane is the normal. And... Yeah, for me, I mean, we're making it normal. The extraordinary living is the norm anymore. I think it is.
Mm-hmm. That makes some sense to me, actually.
And whatever we're getting, and I think this is something I'll do probably tomorrow morning, is I'll listen to this again, and I'll journal about this and what was the essence of what did I get out of this whole conversation. Because tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock, I'll be back on the radio again, and I love it.
That's great.
And we'll be talking tomorrow afternoon. I'll be over at the Gateway Retirement Community, and some of the elders are going to sit in and listen. We're going to talk about life experience and life reflections.
Well, the same question that was brought up today might be a good question to pose to them as well.
You're right. And they're at, you know, some of them are 80, some of them are a little older, and maybe not. And so their perspective is going to be a little bit different than ours right here. And we've got about a minute to go here. So any last thing that you'd like to share with our audience?
Thank you for having me on. Thank you for having the show. I have found it a fascinating show.
Thank you.
Yes,
Deborah?
It's been an opportunity for me to really take a look at some interesting ideas. Thank you.
Very good. So I want to thank both of you for being on this program. And this will be archived, and you can go back and listen to that at a later time. And I will be back on tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And it's 4 o'clock. So tune in again. I want to remind each and every one of you out there that who you are makes a difference.